Well, tonight we have Peter Casarivu is going to be sharing the Word of God with us. I was thinking about how I should introduce Pastor Peter to you. And I would describe Pastor Peter with these words. Pastor Peter is an incredible visionary. I wish that you could all have the experience that I've had of going to Uganda and seeing what God has done through this man and through the ministry that God has placed him in charge of. Absolutely incredible. This ministry is literally changing Uganda. Peter is a disciple maker. The thing that makes me so amazed with Peter is not so much his great preaching, although he's a great preacher. It's the quality of leaders that have come up from underneath him. Everywhere I go in Uganda, I meet somebody who started in Gaba Community Church, and Peter was his pastor, and Peter has discipled them. Peter's home is full of people constantly. I never know who his true biological children are and who are just people that he calls his kids, because everybody thinks of Peter as their father, and he thinks of them as his kids. Peter is a way maker. Peter has a unique ability to see the good in people, call it out, release them, and cheer them on, and he likes it if they even do better than he does. He was the one who saw the evangelist call in my life and gave me my opportunity. Simply put, Peter is a leader of leaders, one of the best in the world, in my opinion. You're honored and privileged to be able to listen to this man tonight. So, Peter, why don't you come and share the Word of God with us?
Good evening. It is so exciting for us to be here and Harvest City, you're an amazing church. You are a wonderful church, but also you have wonderful leaders. What a blessing for us to always come and enjoy and celebrate with you. And thank you for the hundreds of people that you send our way every time, every year. Thank you for the difference you are making in our lives and in the lives of very many people, especially Uganda. I know you're making difference in so many other countries, but for me, today let me say Uganda. I love Canada. The only thing I don't like is the cold of Canada. I love to look at the snow. I don't like to feel the snow. Last night, we are staying with a very wonderful couple, Curtis and Kerry. So last evening, we went out to actually enjoy a walk. And I don't know how many layers I put on myself. I actually looked like an Eskimo? Yeah, something like that. And we put on some serious boots. They were like 10 kilos. It was fun. But it's exciting for us to be here. Thank you so very much for loving us. And I want to say we love you because you also love us and you love our Jesus. This year, I'm so excited about the theme of this amazing event, amazing celebration, the good news. Aren't you glad about the good news? If it wasn't for the good news. Yeah, let's clap for Jesus or to Jesus. If it was not for Jesus, we would not be here. If it wasn't for Jesus, I would not be in North America today. If it was not for the good news of Jesus, I would probably be dead. But I thank God for Jesus and for his message of the gospel. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful night. We thank you for the opportunity to share with your children. We thank you for the love that you've shown us, and we thank you for the partnership we have in the gospel. Lord, speak to us this evening and encourage us even through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Joe, thank you so much for those wonderful words. Thank you. I appreciate you so very much. By the way, we would like this guy to move to Uganda. Yes, we have enough work for him. As you know, Africa is 1.7 billion people. So we can actually use an evangelist. Praise the Lord. But thank you for lending him to us whenever you do. We appreciate. I have a scripture that I want to read, which is really connected with our theme. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Can we say amen? I read somewhere a statement, and I like to quote that statement. It says that God has empowered his gospel with the same supernatural power that he has within himself. So God has decided to put his power in the gospel. Can you imagine that? So then when we get the gospel of Jesus Christ, we actually get the power of God to work in our lives. No wonder we've had all these testimonies even this evening. The gospel is the good news. You all agree. The gospel is evangel. It's from there that we get the word evangelism. It is from there that we get the word evangelical. The gospel is the message of hope. The gospel is the message of Jesus. The gospel is the message of Jesus. You know, Paul wrote this portion, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that I've just read. And Paul is a real beneficiary of the gospel. And he wrote it with strong conviction because he was a product of the good news, which we call the gospel. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, this is what he says. If anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, I was blameless. But whatever gain I counted it loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. So Paul was one of those people who was very, very difficult to change. But when he encountered the good news of Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel, that man was changed. And I believe that all of us here have a testimony of the power of the good news of Jesus Christ. It is this gospel that made this man who was a persecutor into a follower of Jesus, a preacher of the gospel. It is this same good news that made this man to impact, to influence, and to bring transformation to nations. It is this same gospel that made this man to write 14 books in our Bible. What a message. The good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we say amen to that? Amen. There are a few things that I want to share today, and I'll share a bit of stories from Uganda so that you can know how the gospel has been used of God in our country where I come from. The first statement I want to bring to us today is that the gospel changes me. And when I say me, I also mean you. The gospel changes me. The good news changes me. You know, I come from a family of 13 children. 13 children, one father and six mothers. That's the family I come from. I come from a family where my father was an alcoholic. He drank and drank and drank. And my mother raised most of us, even the children that were not her own. And as we are growing up, 2 years before my conversion to Jesus, to salvation, my mother came to us and called all of us. And she said, I have met Jesus. You know, we grew up in the Anglican church. We used to go to church, but we are nominal Christians. So my mother comes and says, I have accepted Jesus. Jesus has changed my life. Of course, I smiled, but I did not know that I really needed what she had, because I thought the message of the gospel was for older people, not for young people like me. So I kind of left it at that. But as I continued in my life, I realized that I was actually beginning to become an unruly and undisciplined child. I remember my mother giving me the Bible and says, Peter, read this book. It is going to help you. I read it, but I didn't make much sense of it. Then one day, a friend of mine, it was school break, a friend of mine I had gone to visit, told me that, you know, Peter, I have accepted Jesus. I said, what? He said, yes, I have accepted Jesus. And then he was there with his friend, his brother, and his brother started sharing a testimony. And the testimony this brother had was that he had broken his leg. He was riding a bike, and he had broken his leg. And so this brother was in a cast. You call it a cast? It's that white thing you put on your leg when you break it. And then during that time, they heard that there was a prayer meeting in the community. So they walked to the prayer meeting. He was holding on his walking sticks, and he ended up there, and they prayed for them. On their way back, as they're walking back home, my friend felt inside of him something telling him, remove those clutches from your brother. So he removed. This was like 2 weeks after breaking the leg. So he said, remove. So he felt something telling him. I believe that was the Holy Spirit. So he removes these sticks from his brother, and his brother walks, and the pain goes. So they run back to the fellowship. They are shouting. They don't know what has happened, but they know that God has done a miracle. So that night, those two boys accepted Jesus. So I meet them just 2 weeks or so after they had experienced Jesus and experienced the miracle. So that day, I realized that there is a power beyond the power that I had ever heard of. So I said, I need the Jesus you have. Jesus changed my life that night, and I'm walking with Jesus. This is 38 years later. So that verse of scripture works and has worked in my life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the change of heart, but also for the miracles that we've always desired. So friends, the gospel changes our conscience. The gospel also changes our life. Because I remember after accepting Jesus, I had, you know, like every young person, you have all kinds of habits you picked from friends and peers. But I remember that God started convicting me about some of the behaviors that I had that were not common and they were not right for me. Jesus changed my life, and Jesus changed my purpose in life. The gospel changes us. Can we say amen to Jesus? And we call that the new creation, and every one of us knows that. You become a born-again new creation. You become a new creature. Something inside of you happens. Now, I know that the majority of us who are here tonight, you know Jesus, you love Jesus. But I also want to ask, in your heart of hearts, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you do, is there a real change and a difference that happened in your life when you had an encounter with that Jesus? Because it's very easy, actually, to be in a church where most people are born again and you are not. Do you know Jesus? And have you experienced the transforming power of Jesus? The second statement I have for tonight is that the gospel changes families and leads us to a godly legacy. Again, part of my story, 13 children, as you've heard, an alcoholic father. It's interesting that as I accepted Jesus Christ, I started sharing the message of Jesus with my brothers and sisters. And one by one by one, they started accepting Jesus. And as I speak today, we actually have lost three of them over the years. But one of them went home to be with Jesus because she had already accepted Jesus. But then the rest of us were alive today. We are 10 of us. 7 of us have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So I thank God for that. But there's something that I've seen which is quite interesting. My brother, one of my brothers, he's a younger brother to me. He's 5 years younger than me. For him, while the rest of us were going this way following Jesus, he decided to go this way. When he was around 17, he got a child. When he was around 18, he got another child. He got a lady. They did not get married officially, but they had children. They ended up with 5 children. And as he continued, he actually abandoned his family. He left this woman, this lady, with 5 children. That same brother of mine got another lady, and then got another lady, and got another lady. As I speak today, that brother of mine has got 20 children. He is an alcoholic like how my father was. And I look back and I say, this is strange. He took this route, and the sin of our father followed my brother. But those who turned here and followed Jesus, the good news of the gospel changed them. So what I see is this. If we do not follow Jesus, the sin of our fathers and our fathers can follow us up to the 4th generation. I think you've read that in the Old Testament. But I thank God for the gospel, because I see a transformation that has come to all of our family members who have come to follow Jesus. I see a change and a difference that has happened to them. That's why I love that verse of scripture. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Can we say amen to God? There is a research that was made so many years ago by a certain gentleman. And he was tracking the legacy of people who follow Jesus, but also the legacy of those who do not follow Jesus. And I read an article, some of you may have heard about it, but it was an article about a man called Jonathan Edwards. Many of you have ever heard about this man. He is credited for preaching a message called "The Sinner in the Hands of an Angry God." This man was the third president of Princeton University. He was a revivalist. So they tracked his life, but also they tracked the life of another man. He was a criminal, and his name was called Max Jukes. And this is how the article goes, and I'm going to read it for us because I think it will help us tonight, even as we think about the power of the good news. And this is what this gentleman writes. Leaving a godly legacy for your children should be the goal of all Christian parenting. Although the faith and godliness of our children is ultimately the work of the Holy Spirit, God often uses the influence of parents to make a great impact on their children. A great example of this is Jonathan Edwards, a Puritan preacher from the 1700s. Jonathan and his wife Sarah left a godly legacy of 11 children. At the turn of the 20th century, American educator, pastor, Winship decided to trace out the descendants of Jonathan Edwards almost 150 years after his death. His findings are outstanding, especially when compared to a man known as Max Jukes. Jukes' legacy came to the forefront when the family trees of 42 different men in the New York prison system traced back to him. Jonathan Edwards' godly legacy includes this: one U.S. vice president, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, 30 public office holders, 100 lawyers, 100 missionaries. Now, that is this man who followed Jesus. But what about the criminal? The descendants of the criminal include 7 murderers, 60 thieves, 50 women of debauchery, 130 convicts, 310 paupers, beggars, 400 were physically wrecked by indulgent living. It was estimated that Max Jukes' descendants cost the state more than $1.2 million. The power of the gospel. So the gospel, the good news that we believe, does not only affect us, but it affects the people that follow us. I am so glad for the testimony that our brother shared. 6 generations down the road, the gospel has followed him. Aren't you glad that you're a child of God today? Because that maps a future for your children and your children's children. There's a statement that I want to bring us tonight, and the statement says this: the gospel realigns me to my destiny. The gospel realigns me to my destiny. There's a verse of scripture that I want to read for us. It's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says this: for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are God's piece of art. We are God's creation, but we are created by God for good works. Actually, I like your, do you call it a mission statement or vision statement? Leave your call. What I've found is that God created us for a purpose. You know, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before you were created, God had a plan for you. He had a purpose for you. He designed you for a purpose. But I want to say this, that not so many people actually fulfill their purposes in life. Very many people actually do not. But what I've found is that when you find Jesus, there is a way his Holy Spirit starts working in your life, and you discover why you were made and why you were created. All the things that God put in you, the potential in you, actually comes out. You are God's workmanship.
And God prepared you for a purpose. And God wants you to fulfill that purpose for your life. And what I've found, it all begins when you have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel of the kingdom, the good news. When you find Jesus, that is the first step to finding God's purpose for your life. Remember the man, Paul, that whose verses we've just been reading about. It is after Paul met Jesus that the persecutor became the beloved apostle, the writer of the Gospels, of the books of the Bible. Peter and his friends were fishermen, and then they encounter the good news of Jesus Christ, and the people were fishing fish. They became fishers of men. Do you remember that woman at the well? She had actually had five husbands or five men. She finds Jesus, and Jesus reveals to her who he is. And this woman became an evangelist that very day. When you find the message of good news through the gospel, you actually change and you find purpose for your life. Can you say amen to Jesus for that? We cannot experience Jesus and stay where we are and stay doing what we've been doing. Our faith changes our focus. You know, I have another story of a man that God has used in amazing ways. And I'm going to share about that man. Pastor Dave and Pastor Joe have met, and many of the people who have gone to Uganda have met this man. This man is called Bishop Wilson. We call him Bishop because he's a church planter, an amazing man. He has a story that actually is amazing. This man got saved so many years ago. He's now, I think he's 76 at this time. He accepted Jesus Christ during those very tough times. He was imprisoned several times during the days of Idi Amin. But this man went to a community, and that community is a very, very poor community. It's about 90 miles from the city of Kampala. One time, we actually visited this community with my wife. And when we went to that community, it's called Molete. When we went to that community, there was no road, so we drove and we stopped somewhere, and we had to walk for 2 miles to get to this place. And God has spoken to this man to actually plant a church there. So we found this tiny little church. It was grass-thatched house. And there were a few people meeting there. And when he went to this village, he had actually found a man. And that man was called Yokana. Yokana is John in your language. So he had found this guy and preached the gospel. And the guy gave him space, and he started this little church. So when we visited, we actually stayed in a grass-thatched house. And there was, instead of a mattress, we slept on grass. So welcome to Africa. So that's where we stayed. And this pastor had a dream that God would change that community. The gospel has the power not only to show us purpose, but also the gospel has the ability to actually change communities. So Pastor Wilson had a dream that God is going to change this community, and this community will be a better community. But remember, there's no road. But the man had a dream that God is going to do it. And then God, in his own way, started adding people. They bought a small piece of land, and they started building a church building. And later on, that church building actually could seat about 150 people. Instead of a grass-thatched church building. They now had a tin-roofed church building. And then he said, I'm going to start a school. And we started looking for partners and friends. We ended up starting a school in that community. And then we sent a mission team one time, and they saw a lot of sicknesses in the community. And Pastor Wilson said, I want actually to start a clinic here. So people gathered some money, and they built a clinic in that community. And then one time there was an organization visited the community and said, no, we need to put a road there. And they ended up putting a road there. And then soon after that, they said, no, there's no water here. And somehow God brought other people, and they put water there. Today, when you go to that place, there's a little town. There's a town which is supplied by water that was brought in by the local church. There's a school of 400 children in that community. That community today is one of the best producers of maize, which you call corn. Why? Because the gospel does not only help us to find our mission in life, but also God uses the gospel, the good news, to bring transformation to communities. Now, this old man that he met, the first man he met in this community, pastor, he became a pastor. He's called Yokana, which is John. He became a pastor. But then they ended up sending his son to Bible school. And now this son is now the pastor of this little church in that community. And the other day I visited, and then Pastor Wilson was telling me that, you know what, Yokana's son, the second son, is now in the university. He's actually about to finish, and he wants to come back home and make a difference in the community. So friends, the gospel does not only show us our mission, but also the gospel, God uses it to bring transformation to the communities around us. God wants the gospel to spread everywhere, because it's the power of God for the change of society. So that's the story of Bishop Wilson. And friends, the gospel, or the good news, does not only change communities, but also the gospel changes social structures of society. In 1931, there's a man who was an Anglican catechist, lay leader, who went to the country of Rwanda. He was a Ugandan. He went to the country of Rwanda to train other catechists to serve in the Anglican church. It so happened that this man was so rude and so angry that the students, remember this is teaching ministers, but the students rioted or revolted because of the way he treated them. They challenged the way he acted, and then he got to realize that he was preaching and teaching ministers, but he himself had not had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. So this man fell on his knees and repented his sins and came to his class, the class of lay leaders, and told them, I have come to preach the gospel to you, but I had never encountered the Jesus that I'm sharing with you. So that day, he knelt down before the class and repented. And that day, the whole class realized that all of them were being trained to do ministry, but yet they had never encountered the gospel that they were about to preach. A revival broke out, which revival spread from the country of Rwanda to Uganda. Remember, the guy who went was Ugandan, to the country of Uganda. And this started from Western Uganda. It ended up moving from Western Uganda to Central Uganda, all over Uganda, to Kenya, to Tanzania, and actually spread to many countries of the world. It ended up being called the East African Revival. Many people repented of their sins. Many people came back to Jesus. And this sweeping of the gospel changed the whole fiber of society, especially Western Uganda. Now, someone wrote about this East African Revival and the impact of the revival to Uganda, especially that western part of Uganda. Now, these preachers have been to western Uganda, but if you compare western Uganda, I think Pastor Joe, you can remember, and Pastor Dave, western Uganda and northern Uganda are totally different. And central Uganda is different. This region, this is what we found out. It's more developed than any other part of the country. It's so interesting that these revivalists, they did not only get saved, but they actually took their children to school. As we speak today, I can count more than 10 people who are actually in government, including the president. They were born by these former revivalists. They took their kids to school. Many of these families, they are not polygamous. Witchcraft is not found there. Now, they may not be born again, but the effects of the gospel can be seen everywhere in that part of the country. Someone was doing a statistics recently, and they found, they did a research on 200 couples who have lived in holy matrimony for 50 years. And they found that 3/4 of these people in that region were products of this revival, which happened in the 30s and the 40s. It's interesting that they found several people who actually have lived to be 100 years old. And they found that a big percentage of those are people who are products of this revival. It's so interesting that they've also found that the people who actually are living healthy, good behavior, people that are actually ruling, and people that are making a difference in Uganda are products of a revival that took place so many years ago. You know, when I read that, I said, we need the good news of the gospel. We need the good news of the gospel. So friends, there are several stories that I've shared tonight, but there's one major thing here. The gospel is the power of God. Amen. And my question is to you today, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you do, have you found a mission for your life? Just like Bishop Wilson. The Bishop Wilson that I've just shared with has planted 200 churches in Uganda today. He found a mission in his life. If you found Jesus, have you found a mission in your life? If you haven't, actually you have the opportunity to find it. You do. Because it all starts with the gospel. But also as a church, have a city. You have the opportunity to bring a difference in your community because you have the gospel. And you're doing it, but you can do more. But also to us as the global family, there's hope through the gospel of the kingdom. I would like us to stand up and pray. You have this amazing mission, amazing vision. Leave your call. Leave your call. Many of us have found Jesus, but the question is, have we found something worth enough to die for? Have we? The opportunity for this weekend is so big through the testimonies and of the people that found that call, that found that mission in life. And God wants you to give him that opportunity to help you find it. But also, I believe that there are people here, around here today, that yes, you found Jesus, but somehow, through the challenges of life, you've been floundering. You're serious, but you're not serious. You become serious, then you stop being serious. And God is saying, you have one life to live. Actually, that life can count. And God is challenging us and say, can you do it? Can you give me your life? Can you give me everything? Because there's that opportunity. But also I know that there are many of us here. Yes, you love Jesus. But have you realized that you can actually influence your children to become that which God planned for them, just like the story we've just read. So as we finish tonight, I believe that there will be people who would like prayer today. And I would like to challenge us. And I'm going to ask the ministers in the house to come to the front here and wait for some of us who need some prayer. Because I know there are people here who need some prayer. Who say, I want to recommit my life to the gospel. I want to find my call in life. I want to find my mission in life. Or I want to commit myself to invest into my children that at least there will be a legacy that I leave behind. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to the changing of society.